Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to get news. Oh my goodness, that was terrible. The weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 37. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella. Titanium!
Professor, take us to school.
I got mush mouth today.
You know what? I'm so glad you did that because I get a lot of questions on the side behind your back. Is he a robot? Is that something that you guys pre-record? I said, no, he just hits his
off
mark.
Off the cuff.
He hits his fucking mark every time.
99.9% of the time.
I'm glad you finally fucked up a little bit. People were starting to think you were a robot, you man, cyborg son
like
of a bitch.
Mush mouth from Fat Albert, man. How about you, boo, feeboo? I don't know how to do
oh,
that
boy.
Anymore.
Oh, boy. Man. I love it. Good. Yeah, episode 37, right?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's roll into it, and also we want to thank the listeners to bring the show to you, and those are our patrons, patreon.com, patreon.com. You want to support the show directly, go there, patreon.com/supertalk, and you can donate $1 an episode. Hey, you guys release an episode, we'll give you $1. Great. Guess what? You're now one of the patrons that are bringing the show to the rest of the listening and viewing audience. So thanks to our patrons out there. We really appreciate the support. And if you want to support the show directly, head on over there.
Yeah, we send those super dupers some swag sometimes too. So thank you, super dupers.
Yes, and we'll continue to do that.
Absolutely.
Especially once we get the merch website up, which I know Titanium is working on.
Yeah, I looked at that the other day. It's a little more involved than I anticipated, but it's getting there. I got like maybe 5 items on there right now. So
this is Titanium's foray into becoming a lifestyle brand. It is moving into the merch store for Super Talk.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move into our review section. Of course, sponsored by our friends over at Goodr Sunglasses, GOODR.com. Sunglasses that are affordable, stylish, polarized. They're great. Go visit our friends over at Goodr.
Yeah, more people are wearing them. I see them all the time now, even people that don't really watch the show. But I'm like, hey, are those Goodr glasses? They're like, yeah, I just picked them up at a running store. I was like, shit, that's cool. Hey, thanks, Mike Mountain, for the bag of swag. Why don't you send another one? Thanks.
Yes, I will continue to wear them every day like I do today. If you want to send more styles, you know what, we'll feature them on the show here for sure. Absolutely. We've got a couple things to talk about. Of course, we want to move right into the new episode of What If this week, and it was What If Killmonger Saved Tony Stark?
Okay.
Yeah. So, really, the entire episode starts off just like the original Iron Man movie, your favorite.
Almost shot for shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really cool.
Your favorite movie in the MCU, the original Iron Man movie, shot for shot. He's in the Humvee. The Humvee gets attacked.
Yeah.
And he runs out, and he's calling his phone, trying to get help, and the Stark Industries bomb lands right next to him. And Killmonger walks up, picks it up, and tosses it away and saves his life. And conveniently, he's there and is able to exfiltrate him out and, you know, save his life.
Conveniently, he's there.
Right.
Right?
Now, what ends up happening, he never becomes Iron Man because he's never captured. He never gets the shrapnel in his chest. He's never, you know, retrofitted with an electromagnet so that the shrapnel doesn't go into his heart and all the things that happened. That never happened in this episode. That was the change.
Yeah. And him and Killmonger become buddies and they're close.
Yeah. And it was an interesting twist. I'd love to get your opinion. I thought they were going to take his character in a completely, Killmonger's character in a completely different direction.
Same.
Of, hey, this is a mercenary that just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and it ended up putting him on a very different path, a path of redemption, and now he's a hero instead of kind of an anti-hero or villain that Killmonger was. That's not the case. No. This basically was Killmonger had this same motivation, the same end game. He just went about it in a different way, along a different path.
Yeah, disappointing as far as I'm concerned, because I was looking forward to perhaps maybe him in the suit. I was looking forward for a redemption arc of that character to become good, to become better than Tony Stark, and to end up doing something spectacular. So I was a little disappointed that they kept him as a villain and as manipulative and calculating as and brilliant as he is as a villain. I thought it would have been a little bit cooler to see him in the hero type role, but they didn't go that direction. So I had a little bad taste in my mouth throughout the whole episode, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we got a first indication of that very early on when he came back with Tony Stark. And during the press conference that we saw in Iron Man 1, he announced that the reason why he was there, he was a Navy SEAL. The reason why he was there is because he found out that Obadiah Stane was the one who had organized the arranged for the Ten Rings to, you know,
kidnap and kill Tony Stark.
Right. Yeah. And then Tony Stark, of course, promotes him, and then Obadiah Stane is taken away. But then, literally, it's like it goes, it's retrofitted all the way down the road. I mean, he ends up killing Black Panther.
And Happy and Pepper Potts aren't happy. They have this.
They're
look of,
dubious.
Yeah, they're dubious of them. That's a great word, dubious. Damn, that's a good word. They are dubious of him, and you can see it in their faces. They're skeptical of him. Like, look, this guy, now he's the head of security of Stark, and now he's the CEO. All of a sudden, he keeps promoting them and giving him more power and more intel.
And he gets more Tony to build these Gundam. So there's a funny...
the anime robots.
Yeah, there's a funny... I guess, underlying story to this. So Michael B. Jordan, who came back to voice his character as Killmonger in this episode,
cool.
Which was great. But Michael B. Jordan is a closet anime fan. Like, mm-hmm. That is, like, one of his favorite things in real life. He loves anime.
Yep.
So much so that he wore T-shirts, anime T-shirts, on the set of the original Black Panther movie and all these other things. And they really kind of wove that into this episode. And he came to Tony Stark and said, hey, you know, my master's thesis in college was, you know, these robots that could kind of be peacekeeping forces themselves. But they had to have, you know, I just didn't have the materials to build them. And Tony Stark's like, oh, we'll build them right here. And it looks exactly like, you know, like Voltron or a Gundam model. And they end up building one.
He redesigns it a little bit. Tony Stark
does. Yeah, of course. Tony puts his little spin on it, right? Yeah. But they end up building that. And ultimately, he ends up using it, you know, for his own purposes. And literally, the episode spirals to where he ends up...
Killed Tony Stark. Yeah.
He killed T'Challa, Black Panther.
Yeah.
But ends up going to Wakanda as the Forgotten Son, quote unquote, and, you know...
Becoming the Black Panther.
The king, you know, gets his good graces while convincing the U.S. Army to attack Wakanda and then taking over the robots. And then, I mean, it was just like a huge twist. But at the end of the episode, he ends up becoming the Black Panther. And we're like, what now?
Right.
And he sees T'Challa in the spirit world after he gets the heart-shaped herb. And he tells him, he says, power stolen will end up corrupting you.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the same as power earned. Power stolen will corrupt you, and you'll end up paying for it in your life or in this one, which means in the afterlife, right? He'll end up paying for it, and that's kind of how the episode ends, which is kind of like just
bizarre.
So we got to ultimately the same or similar points to where we did in the Black Panther movie. Just a very different path.
A very different path.
Destructive and killing path. I mean,
darker.
Yeah, I mean,
super dark.
Shot Claw in the head. I mean, it was like, oh yeah, super dark.
Yeah. Well, he shot Claw in the Black Panther as well. But yeah, super dark. And I think all these shows have been kind of dark, which I like. You know, I like that kind of, you know, different aspect of...
Taking some risks.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it disappointing.
Yeah.
Is
not your favorite.
Not my favorite. No, good, but not my favorite at all. I still think the Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme was my favorite so far.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got a new one next week. We're not. And any insights on which one that is?
That is going to be Party Thor.
Okay, so we're gonna get Party Thor. That's gonna be the what if Thor never had to be sent back down to Earth to redeem himself, and he's like the happy-go-lucky, let's drink and be merry Thor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the next one.
And I believe that, I think we've got, of all the characters we thought were in this Guardians of the Multiverse team, I think the only last one we haven't seen is the Gamora, who is carrying Thanos' sword. Yeah. You know, we haven't seen that one either. So I think maybe there's another one afterwards that is her. Because there's only like 5 episodes left, I believe, right?
Or 4. How many? 12 total?
I don't know if there's 12.
Yeah.
What episode are we on now?
I think
we're on 6.
Yeah.
It might be less than that. It might be 3 or 4 left.
Yeah, maybe. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, we'll check into that. We'll update you guys. We'll figure that one out. All right. So that was, entertaining, like we've said.
Of course, it's great.
It's an entertaining distraction. I'm happy
they
come
on.
Not
my favorite, but it was good. Definitely give it a wiggle.
All right. And we got, and now the other thing to review, of course, we've got the Titan Season 3, Episode 8.
Smoke Show.
I literally was watching the episode and I was envisioning Titanium in his bedroom with the lights down low.
No. No, the TV was on, but I did rewind several times. Great episode, and I'll give you my opinion of it right off the bat. I thought it was one of the best episodes so far, besides the first couple that they released. I thought it was a great episode, and who stole the show for me was Scarecrow, Dr. Crane. I thought his character arc went deep, and really, you gotta look at his psyche and how messed up he really is. When he's talking to his mom, the psychiatrist, and he's going over some of his biggest fears and what's going on with him and the way he's acting, that psychopath kind of look in his eyes, I thought it was great. I thought he was outstanding in this.
3 main storylines I think that they covered in this show. We were alluding to the fact that Connor and Blackfire
were flirty.
Well, they were very flirty the episode prior, and literally the first 5 minutes of this episode is them just hooking up.
Yeah.
And
I think her powers, I think she's using him, Connor, to drain and to recharge her powers and get her powers back completely. Because as you know, she's been drained of her powers. She still has some power, and they're coming back slowly over time.
She claimed that she was not born with them like everybody else in her family was. That's what she said a couple episodes ago. She says, I was not born with the ability to make fire. You know, everybody else in my family was, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is she has some latent powers that we don't understand yet.
What makes me believe that is that mist when she's in bed with Connor, the camera pans down under the bed. It's that purple mist, like basically her power.
Or pheromones or something.
Something's going on there. And I think she's draining Connor to recharge her power set. So that's what I think.
That's going pretty deep.
I still think she's an absolute gorgeous actress, and she's a smoke show. And I think if they keep her in it somehow, like, please don't get rid of her. I just hope they keep her around. But yeah, something's going on with Starfire and Dick Grayson. They're both having these visions. They're both having these weird episodes. So something's going on, and I'm interested to find out what that is. But I thought it was one of the better episodes.
So that was one plot point. The other plot point was, as you mentioned, kind of going behind the scenes with Scarecrow and finding out what his motivations are and how he's using the Titans and wants to really bring down Gotham. And
then the Tim Drake plot point.
Well, we got you know, a couple. Yeah, Tim Drake, who does in the comic books end up becoming the next version of Robin. Figures everything out.
I like that kid. I think he's a great character. Yeah.
But figures out who Dick Grayson is, that he was the original Robin, knows who Batman is, knows who Jason Todd is, knows all this, and he's like, I want to be the next Robin. And you know, he's like, oh, you know, Dick Grayson's like, hold on, slow down.
Did I miss something? Did they kill him off? I know.
So end of the episode, and this is what I was alluding to, the most of the episode centered around Jason wanting to come home. He realized he screwed up. He wants to come back. And he's talking to Dick and saying, hey, can we meet? Can we talk? I just want to come home. And ultimately, he tries to. But then Jason Todd's follows him to the factory where he's been working with Scarecrow.
Tim Drake follows Jason Todd, yeah.
Right, and then Scarecrow comes out and shoots him.
Yeah.
And at the end, the episode ends with Jason Todd walking up to him saying, who are you and why are you here? And he goes, I'm Tim Drake. And
I want to be Robin.
Boom. No, he didn't say that to him while he was lying there dying. But he was like, boom, the episode ends. It's like, holy crap.
Well, Dick Grayson finds him and he sees himself in it. He has another one of his weird fucking visions, which I don't get. I really want an explanation to these weird visions. But he's kind of fallen into like a Batman type, you know, like a Bruce Wayne type character role, which is interesting. You know, the Bat family, I think they're setting it up as their, I don't know, it's kind of weird, but I thought it was a great episode. I like this Tim Drake kid. I hope they keep him on. I think he's super interesting, super smart. They're really developing his character. Apparently, his lungs were filling up with blood, so they couldn't cauterize it. They needed to get him to the hospital. I'm hoping that Connor grabs him and speeds him to the hospital, something like that. But I really want to see that character.
I mean,
he can't, right?
He becomes Robin.
I hope so. Yeah.
He becomes Robin in, you know, the real comic book universe. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they would kill Tim Drake off. So,
they end it with, you know, Scarecrow does finally complete his plan. Starfire, unbeknownst to her, puts a giant hole where he needs it to put that. How fast, though, did he get that big canister down there and empty it all into the water supply? That was fishy as shit. That was way too fast. But anyway, I digress. I know it's a show. I'm just looking for some reality here.
All right, we'll get more of that this week. So, I mean, you know, good episode, quality.
I think the next episode between you and me, I think that I'm going to call it here. You guys can blow me up in the comments if I'm wrong. I think the next episode, we're going to see, was it Mysteria? And we're going to see Wonder Girl.
Mysteria?
And we're going to get a little bit of Raven. I think we're going to see them come. It's going to be...
Who's Mysteria?
The place, the island.
Oh.
Wonder Woman's island. Did I butcher it?
Themyscira.
What is it called?
Themyscira.
Yes. That place too. We're going to get both of them. I think we're going to see them, Wonder Girl, and we're going to see a little bit of Raven as not a filler
episode.
Isn't
that the song by Def Leppard, Mysteria?
Mysteria. Yes, I think you're right. Can I get that feeling? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
It's a magical.
Yes. That's it.
All right.
But yeah, great episode. I really enjoyed it.
I did too. And I think I do agree with you, Titanium. I think the next one is going to be great. And I do believe we are marching towards Raven and Wonder Girl coming back and culmination of something that's going on with the team. We'll figure that out. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Well, let's jump in the news section and... bunch of little things happened this week. And literally, I spent like 3 days this week tracking this thing down. I don't know if you saw all this crap that was going on with this. But
awful.
So there were pictures and then ultimately a video.
A little clip.
Of Andrew Garfield in his Spider-Man costume on a set, a blue screen set. It was literally like a... maybe 6 second clip.
If that, yep.
But it was in 4K HD.
Uh-huh.
And it was him on this blue screen set holding on to like this metal railing and talking in his Spider-Man costume.
Yep.
Talking to
Tom Holland.
Well, there was another hand in that thing that we didn't, but then there was another picture, Tom Holland, it was Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, okay.
There was another picture of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield on a very similar set, blue screen with all the railings and everything, talking to each other. And you're like, oh, that's from the same scene. Well, Andrew Garfield goes on Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Fallon basically confronts him and says, so I assume you've seen this picture. And he was referring to the video of you in the Spider-Man uniform on set, blue screen, everything. You need to comment. And he goes, and he starts laughing. And he goes, it's Photoshopped.
Yeah.
Photoshopped. And that's like his canned response. It was a Photoshop. Well, then, and now the entire like internet was like, oh, he's full of crap. And he's just saying it, whatever. Well, then like a day later, some guy comes on and puts up a video showing how he created that video with Andrew Garfield's face. He showed like step by step how he created this. And somebody was like, okay, Disney or Sony, if you don't have this guy hired right now, you need to hire him because he's the best special effects artist ever.
Yeah.
Right? Because he faked something that everybody thought was real.
He deep faked his face on. Yeah.
And then literally a day later, everybody's like, no, he's basically creating a video debunking the debunking of a video. And so the fact of the matter is, as you and I have all said the entire time, this is the worst kept secret in the history of the Sony movie pictures industry that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in this movie. It's the worst kept secret ever. We all know they are. They're under contract saying they're not, or they can't disclose it quite yet, but ultimately they will be able to do that. These pictures and these videos that are leaks, they're all real. Most of them are. I mean, nobody's like fabricating these things. These looked way too real for them to be fabricated. Look, it's the worst kept secret ever. And the fact that they're denying it means they have to deny it. And some things that came out this week were very interesting. Sony was purposefully going out over the internet and deleting every instance of this video or this picture from every YouTube channel, every Instagram channel. They were deleting it everywhere. Copyright strikes and all this other stuff. Then all of a sudden, like on Wednesday or Thursday, they're like, ah, screw it. We're not doing it anymore. That tells me that they're just either they're tired of it or it is real and it's eventually going to come out anyway. So screw it.
My angle on this is that it's not real.
Really? You thought that video was not real?
I do not think it's real.
I bet you $100 right now it was real.
I bet you
we see that scene in the movie. $100.
It is absolutely the worst kept secret. I think they're both
that
in the
scene with Andrew Garfield holding on to a metal railing, talking to Tobey Maguire. We will see that in the movie. $100 right now.
I'm not going to bet you. I'm not a betting man.
All right.
But I will tell you this. I don't think it's real. And I think Andrew Garfield is full of shit. And I think...
You don't think that clip is real, but you think he's still lying.
Yes. I think he's definitely in the movie. I mean, come on. But I do think when he says, I want to control people's expectations of my involvement.
Very small. Very minimal. I think the speaking parts the two of them have are minimal. As I've said before, I believe this is a Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
It's going to be a Tom Holland movie. He's going to be the main character. He's going to be the main Spider-Man in this movie. We know Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange is in the movie. We believe all these other Spider-Man villains are in the movie. We believe Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to be in the movie. They're going to play these minor bit parts. And they might have a few lines of dialogue, but they're not going to be major parts in this movie. They're going to be small pieces.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's fake.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait until December to find that one out.
You asked me, is it titanium? Why do you think it's fake? Go ahead.
Why do you think it's fake, titanium?
Because I've been burned too many times. I've been burned way too many times with these released little clips, and I fall head over heels, and I believe it is gospel, and I'm not fucking doing it anymore.
You know what got me, though, T? What got me was... the video, it was literally like 6 seconds, and you see him talking, and you see his, like, everything's moving the way it's supposed to move, and you see that one hand that's in the front of the screen, and then the other picture you see is the other angle of him sitting there holding that railing and Tobey Maguire on the other side, and it's like, that's where the hand was coming from.
All I'm saying is this, is that just recently, my daughter, Gabrielle, I said, I cannot believe how many people are reposting these Tom Cruise TikToks. Tom Cruise is all over the place. And I was like, look at this. Look at this great TikTok, Tom Cruise. She goes, that's not Tom Cruise. That's a deep fake. I was like, what? I thought that this TikTok account was the real Tom Cruise. And it wasn't. So I'm not getting faked out anymore.
You're done.
Until I see it, and I'm going to take your advice. You're the one that told me, stay off the web and don't believe the all these rumor mills. So, and we have another piece of news that kind of supports the rumor mill kind of hysteria of all these people. You know, it's the news. It's better to be
hysteria.
First than
is that
right.
The island where Wonder Woman's from?
That's Mysteria, not hysteria. Mysteria.
Okay. Well, since you dropped the bomb, why don't you just say what's the other piece of news that?
So the social media went nuts because there were some pictures of Ethan Hawke and what's his name, Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke with William Dafoe. There was a picture of them in Budapest where they are filming Moon Knight, and the internet went nuts. The Green Goblin's in Moon Knight. They're bringing him into Moon Knight. He's going to be in Moon Knight, blah, 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 blah. And then
Mark Ruffalo
took a picture with this girl, and Isaac, Oscar Isaac was in front of the same hotel, and Mark Ruffalo was there and took pictures with them as well. So the internet has speculated, and I guess they're connecting dots that, oh, they're there, they must be in the movie, they're going to make cameos, blah, 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 blah. Well, come to find out, that it's called Poor Things or something. William Dafoe,
Mark Ruffalo,
and I said somebody else, Emma Stone,
right,
is also in this movie that they're just happen to be filming at.
They just happen to
time.
Be in the same town at the same time that Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke are in Budapest.
Yeah, and then me, of course, old titanium was like, well, Emma Stone's been in a Spider-Man movie. Well, William Dafoe's been in a movie. Well, Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk. I mean, is it coincidence? And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going down that road.
Yeah.
So, and it was debunked.
When you sent this to me, it was funny. When it literally is news that is not news.
Exactly.
If you would have told me, hey, I thought there was something, but there was nothing, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. But you were like, oh my God, you won't believe what happened. All four of these people were in the same place at the same time, and pictures were taken. They were all over the internet, but you know, it happens to be that they're working on two different movies, and really nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to make a point that don't believe the first people that
look,
claim to have.
You know, I said this, Tony. We've said this. People are so interested in being first than they are in being right.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
And it's more important to be first than it is to be right.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm with you.
Yeah.
Rarely is that first story true. It's only when it's been validated by multiple people and multiple sources over multiple.
Agreed.
Yeah. Then you're like, oh, okay, we get it.
I'm with the rest of you. I love to speculate. I'll guesstimate. I'll throw out my opinions and I'll fantasize about what I'd like to see. But that kind of stuff, just to gain, it's like clickbait. It's clickbait.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So let's put up Emma Stone, William Dafoe, and Mark Ruffalo on the front of our YouTube page and say, movie together? Is it happening? Cameos in Moon Knight? And then we'll get all these views.
I'm going to take your boy's advice. Don't fake it till you make it. Just be honest.
Right. All right. Well, we'll go past that one. All right. Well, we did get another really good trailer this past week, and that was Hawkeye. Disney Plus series dropped their first trailer, and
wow!
I tell you what, I was when it came out
lukewarm.
I didn't know what the series was really going to be about, but here's what it did for me: it made me feel like I really want to watch this now.
Yeah, right.
Because it, and I don't know what the feeling you got was, but it's not a very serious, dramatic show like Falcon and Winter Soldier was.
Yeah.
Nor is it a comedy or sitcom or, you know, like, you know, WandaVision was early on. But I think it's kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be kind of a, you know, it reminded me of what was the show with Bruce Willis? Moonstruck. Not Moonstruck.
Moon. That, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That he was...
he's like a private detective.
Yes, his first basically big break in Hollywood was the show where he was on... he was a private detective. But it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Where it's a serious subject with kind of comedic undertones.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be kind of... There's some lighthearted, funny parts of it, but it's a serious, like, you know, subject,
yeah.
Right?
I think we just got a little taste of it. It put me in the Christmas mood, to be honest with you. I love that it's coming out and
it's a Christmas theme.
Oh, I love that. I think that's great. I love that it's a Christmas theme. I love that that's the whole premise and that's the whole time period that it's in. Tons of questions. I love that they just right out gave you the hey bro, we're the tracksuit mafia. I think that just right in your face is great. They gave you that. I liked it a lot. I think it's going to be, I was lukewarm on it, but I love Hailee Steinfeld. I think she's beautiful. I think she's a great actress and I love her character in this. I think it's going to be really cool.
That again, I didn't think about this when they cast her. I mean, they cast her because she's, you know, popular, famous, you know, kind of got, you know, got a lot of, you know, a lot of buzz on the, on, you know, in Hollywood, but she does happen to have those kind of like comedic chops.
She does.
She can play those kind of
Bumblebee.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Moonlighting, by the way, is what it
Moonlighting,
was.
Moonlighting, yeah. Moonlighting,
yes. But it reminds me that it's,
you know,
like,
that show, that's funny, Moonlighting. Remember that? Did you watch the show?
Oh, loved it.
Yeah, I love that
show.
One
of my favorite shows, yeah.
One of the greatest, like, shooting, filming of that show, how the characters always had this glow about them.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Like the characters always had this glow about them. And I think that was dramatic. I think that was one of the best parts. Like it gave, like, it made you have an emotion about the watching that show. That was a great show. Bruce Willis.
Yeah, great show. Yeah, it came out in 1985. That's how old we are, dude.
We're old as dirt. I mean, we're just two suburban dads nerding out.
Right. But again, I was pleasantly surprised, to your point, thematically it's going to be a holiday show.
Yeah.
And coming out in November, which is just perfect timing. The fact that there are, like, we understand that he's in New York. We're not really sure why, but he's been doing something, but he's no longer an Avenger.
Where's his wife?
But we know Kate Bishop is now kind of taking his Ronin persona and was like faking that she was him, and he figures it out, but then he kind of takes her on and they're trained. I mean, and it's really going to be based on the comic book run Hawkeye series that was really introduced Kate Bishop to the comic book fans years and years ago. And maybe we'll do an episode right before that premieres. We'll do an episode and we'll talk about that series of comic books and the storyline and everything that was about it, because they're doing some things from there. Tracksuit Mafia, they're doing, you know, kind of mob ties and everything else.
Yeah, even the car that's chasing them is exactly the same car that's in that comic. So right. A lot of it is in that comic.
Right, and the fact that, you know, they may be changing a few things, and I have some theories around what they're going to be changing, but there's widespread speculation. We've talked about this earlier, that Vincent D'Onofrio is coming back as the Kingpin.
Do we get the Kingpin
in the MCU? I think this is a series we get him in. If not many scenes, we'll definitely get a cameo at some point in time. He'll be in the series at some point in time, you know, maybe later on, and he'll be revealed to be kind of the guy behind all the stuff
rumor. I absolutely hope you're true. You're correct on that.
I think we see him both in this series and in the She-Hulk series.
Love to see him.
I mean, boy,
one
that
of the
guy
best villains
killed it as the Kingpin. Just killed it.
He fucking stomped it.
And again, we talked about this, Titanium. The Netflix series, we're introduced us to characters that we know and love and really, really wanted to see portrayed in, you know, the big screen. And we saw it on Netflix and it was great. Now, they missed on a couple of them, but some of them they got really right. And Vincent D'Onofrio as a Kingpin was
absolutely
awesome.
Home run.
Yeah.
They hit a home run with that casting.
Big theory that he's coming back. I can't wait to see it.
He said openly on his page, he would absolutely love to reprise that role as Kingpin. He loved that character.
And he deserves it, man. Yeah. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, now we got some sad news that I want to cover here with everybody. We talked about this last week. WandaVision was nominated for several Emmy Awards, and it did win some Emmy Awards, I believe, on the technical side.
Creative Arts Emmy Awards.
Yeah, like technical kind of costume design, set design, things like that. Yeah. But the main Emmy Awards were last night, and both Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen were nominated for Emmys in their categories for limited series, and the show was nominated for Best Limited Series as well. Neither of them won, nor did the show win. Big snubs, but the fact that they were nominated...
Huge.
For Disney?
Yeah.
Marvel? Yeah. That was enormous.
Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Yes.
Awesome
love
show.
It. One of my favorites.
It's got to be one of the best shows
and
on TV.
That show crushed it.
I love Ted Lasso. And so I'm that was so one... happy that they won all those awards.
That was the show that kind of kicked off our kind of pandemic watching. We kind of, Betsy and I got turned on to it, and we love it. So
yeah.
I think
Nancy and I,
we got a bunch of other people turned on to it, and they're like, oh my God, how do we not know about this?
Yes. I'm like, have you watched Ted Lasso? No. Go watch it now. You have to watch this show. It's such a good show. But great show. But personally, my feelings on award show is they're shit. I don't like award shows. I think it gives a platform to people that shouldn't have platforms.
Here's what I'll say about this particular Emmy Awards, which I think is very...
A mask in the house, by the way. I don't know why they weren't wearing masks, but they were.
You could say that about every college football game that happened on Saturday as well. But anyway.
It's true.
This particular award show, for me, in knowing who was nominated and seeing who won, these were the shows that got us through a bulk of the pandemic.
Yeah.
When we were holed up in our house, we couldn't go anywhere. There was nowhere for us to go. There was no movie, no show, no concert, no football game, nothing for us to do. We were sitting at home watching television and watching series and watching, and these shows that were nominated were what we were watching.
Yeah.
We were watching WandaVision. We were watching Ted Lasso. We were watching The Crown. I'm sure our wives and everything were watching The Crown. We were watching Queen's Gambit, which was fantastic. These are the shows that got us through the pandemic. So I'm like, hey, we'll remember these shows for a long time because of that.
Fun fact for you, Titanium does not like period pieces. Just don't like. Fun fact, Titanium does
love
not
it.
Like period pieces.
I don't either. So
Queen's Gambit,
well, I'm not. Great. I'm okay.
But Bridgerton and all that.
Queen's Gambit, you did like?
I did like that. Well, it was a chess thing, so it was very cool.
Bridgerton and The Crown. You know
anything about period pieces? Unless it's like period, like medieval. Maybe I'll get into it. Any period piece. There's a show my wife Nancy wants us to watch with the guy from Friday Night Lights in it. What's his name? Lattner, or you know who I'm talking about?
Taylor Lattner. Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Love that kid. John Cotter from Mars. He was the main actor in that. Yeah. I told her she needs to watch that before we watch some period piece where he's a detective.
Was Gambit in the Wolverine movie or in the Wolverine Origins movie?
Yes, Gambit, the New Orleans card player.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Excellent.
And there's some show, some period piece that he's in?
And she wants to watch it where he's like a detective, but it's back in like the Elizabethan, or I don't know. It's some kind of detective. It's a period piece. I don't like period pieces. Titanium's got a thing about it. Just, no thank you.
Taylor Kitsch. Yes.
Yeah. He's up there. He's not as young as he was in Friday Night Lights, that's for sure.
No, but she's all into Friday Night Lights.
Oh my God, she's binge watching it. I might have to get an intervention to get her away from that show.
All right. Well, and the last big piece of news from last night, actually, HBO did a kind of a promo commercial during the Emmys about all the movies and television series that are coming to HBO Max. And one of those that was featured during that commercial was the Peacemaker series. And we got to see John Cena in his Peacemaker regalia. And he was sitting in a restaurant in his full costume. And somebody, one of the ladies, why the costume? And he goes, this is a uniform. It was just hysterical. So I'm really looking forward to that series coming out in January.
I believe in James Gunn. He's spearheading that. This is his show. And I'm looking forward to that. I just, you know, he put his girlfriend in one of the leads. The blonde that says, You wore your costume?
Whose girlfriend?
James Gunn.
That's James Gunn's girlfriend?
Yeah, the blonde in that show. He put her in Suicide Squad, too. She was one of the ones that made it.
She's a smoke show.
She's a definite smoke show, but was this forced? I mean, did he do this whole
That's
show?
That's what he does, though. Yeah. That's James Gunn's move. I mean, think about it. How many people that were in Suicide Squad were in Guardians of the Galaxy? Right?
Quite a bit.
A lot.
Yeah.
Right. So.
That's his go-to move?
That's his move. He works with the same people a lot.
He put his girlfriend in this. I hope he gets laid.
I think he is. I think there's some give-get there, there I'm sure. All right. Well, let's move into this week's Top of the Week. And, of course, our Topic of the Week is always brought to you by our friends over at Studio G, G Studios, home of the man band, Corn on the Cob. We love those guys. We're going to put a link to their show, their YouTube page in our show notes like we do every week. Please go support them because they're just great for us and they keep continuing to support us.
Studio G, G Studios, Corn on the Cob, home of the man band. Sensitive Timmy now up and running on there. Great, great little video.
Scary is what it is.
It's haunting is yes. what it is, but I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Well, this week, I thought we've got a couple weeks before the release of Venom, Let There Be Carnage,
yeah.
2 weeks away. So I thought this week we would do a little bit of primer on the history of Venom, the character, both in the comic books and in the movies and where we've seen him so far in the movies. And then next week we're going to go into Carnage. We'll kind of talk about the history of that character in the comic books, and then also where we think they're going with him in the movies.
We got Carnage up front here for the YouTubers.
Yeah. So this week we'll do Venom. So let's kind of talk about where Venom came from and how he came about and why he is. And we've kind of talked about this a little bit before. We've seen some loose portrayal of this character in the movies prior, and then we feel that Sony's taking a very different track with this character moving forward, but we'll kind of talk about the history in general.
Yeah, go through the comic books. I don't know shit about him in the comics. In the movies, I do, but I don't have much in him in the comics.
Yeah, so they introduced a character into the comic books named Eddie Brock. So Eddie Brock was a...
Is that what you have here, Professor, up front?
Not yet. We'll get there, though, and I'll kind of talk about that. But Eddie Brock was introduced into the comic books in Web of Spider-Man, issue number 18. Was a young, troubled man. He grew up and got into a very serious auto accident when he was a teenager, stole his parents' car, went out, got drunk driving, killed some kid. His father spent his entire family's, you know, fortune to, you know, basically buy off the judge to get the charges thrown out, but then had all this resentment to Eddie Brock, and they had this very abusive relationship. Eddie Brock ends up going to ECU, which is Empire State University, where Peter Parker went to college as well. Eddie Brock goes there, enters into the journalism school of journalism with a fake application. He faked an internship that he had, but he ended up getting into the journalism school. He ends up meeting in school Anne Weying, who we saw in the movies, which we'll talk about a little bit later. They end up having a relationship in college. After school, he gets a job at the Daily Globe, which is the main competitive newspaper to the Daily Bugle.
Planet. Oh, okay.
Not Daily Planet. That's DC.
Got it. I'm on it.
Daily Bugle. So the Daily Globe is the big competitor to the Daily Bugle. As he's working, he's a member of the Associated Press working for the Daily Globe. He finds what he believes is his big break. At the time in the Spider-Man comic books, there was a serial killer that was on the run by the name of Sin Eater. And Spider-Man was trying to track the Sin Eater down. He's a serial killer just going on a rampage. Eddie Brock, as a reporter, believed he intercepted a communique to the police from somebody admitting that they were the Sin Eater character. Under pressure from his editor, he revealed the identity of the individual. But then literally the next day, Spider-Man captured the Sin Eater and revealed him to be this police detective who nobody ever suspected. And it wasn't the person that Eddie Brock had revealed in the newspaper the day before.
Oh.
So what happened is Spider-Man capturing the Sin Eater and revealing his true identity basically showed that Eddie Brock was wrong, and he was completely discredited as a reporter. He was embarrassed. He was blaming Spider-Man and everybody else for his mistakes and didn't take ownership of his mistakes. So he was, as a reporter, was basically completely fired and was never hired back again.
Interesting.
His girlfriend, Anne, left him, or a wife, I believe. They may have been married at the time. I think they were married. She left him because he was so upset. He's so upset that he ends up like entering into this big workout regimen to kind of get himself physically fit, you know, and he's just pumping iron left and right. But he's so depressed, he doesn't know what to do. One day he walks into a church. He's contemplating suicide. He was raised Catholic, so he walks into the church. He's praying to God, saying, "Give me a sign. I'm not sure if I can go on." And it happened to be the church that earlier that day, Spider-Man used the bell in the church tower to rid himself of the Venom symbiote that had basically taken, you know, ownership of him. He got rid of it by ringing the bell in the church and was finally able to rid himself of it. And it was there, and it felt that Eddie Brock had this hatred for Spider-Man, or the character Spider-Man, and they bonded with him, saying, "Look, I'll agree to bond with you if you agree to kind of let me use you as my host, and we'll go after Spider-Man together." And that was the creation of Venom in the comic books, which was in Spider-Man number 300, which I have sitting up here. That happened in that issue.
Wow. Now, very different from the movie.
Well, very somewhat similar to what we saw in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
With Topher Grace. So the Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3 had a very similar storyline. They positioned Topher Grace as a competitive reporter to
photographer
Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And they were competing for things, and Peter Parker ends up besting Topher Grace or Eddie Brock in that movie and discrediting him. Basically, if we remember that movie, Eddie Brock was selling pictures of Spider-Man to the Daily Bugle, and Peter Parker, of course, had the real pictures of Spider-Man.
Of course he did.
Of course
he did.
He
had the inside track.
And he came in and said, "Here's the original, and here's the one that he gave you," and was showing that, you know, he was taking my pictures and doctoring them with Photoshop or whatever and selling them to you.
Right.
And at that point, J. Jonah Jameson fired him, and then Eddie Brock. And so we saw a very loose depiction of this in the movies, in that version. And very similar scene in that movie. We remember the scene of Tobey Maguire like ripping the symbiote off him in the bell tower, and Topher Grace being in there at the same time and getting the Venom symbiote at that. So that was, I think, a much more accurate depiction of the history and kind of the backstory.
Comic book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And again, it was years in the comic books, Venom was a villain, before they kind of sent him on this redemption arc and kind of made him more of a hero. And then he's bounced back and forth between hero and villain in the comic books since he was originally created. But literally, when he became Venom, he and Spider-Man fought for years. Like, yeah. And I mentioned this before, one of the big... So Eddie Brock and Venom knew who Spider-Man was because the symbiote was bonded to Peter Parker, so he knew...
Sure.
It was Peter Parker. He knew who Aunt May was. He knew who MJ, Mary Jane was. He knew all this.
Yeah.
So Venom knew this. And they were able to, like, you know, go after Mary Jane. They were going after Aunt May. They were doing things to screw them. And the other big thing, the reason why Venom was Spider-Man, one of Spider-Man's toughest villains to fight, is because Spider-Man's Spider-Sense, which I've mentioned is probably his best superpower, didn't work on Venom. Like, he couldn't tell Venom was coming. So Venom, since they were bonded, had the ability to not trigger his
spider sense.
Right. And so that's what made them such a very difficult. And, you know, look, they were able to get a sonic gun from the Fantastic Four, and he was able to, like, disable him at some point in time. They figured, you know, they knew that sound waves were how you defeat Venom.
Yeah.
So he knew a lot about the symbiote, and there's lots of things that happened. But it took years for Eddie Brock to kind of have this redemption arc and become a somewhat of a hero. And there was I believe I have that issue, I brought it in before, called Venom Lethal Protector, where Venom and Eddie Brock move to San Francisco. They start you know, they start protecting this group of homeless individuals who are being corrupted by the government. And it's a whole different story, but that's where they make Venom more of a hero.
Got it. Anti-hero.
Yeah. I mean, he's still Venom, but I mean, yeah. I mean, as we've seen in the recent movie, I mean, he still wants to eat people. He just wants to eat bad people, right? And I think that's what we're seeing happen with the Tom Hardy version. So in 2018's version of Venom, Tom Hardy comes out and they completely changed the backstory of Venom for that movie.
Yeah.
The symbiote wasn't discovered by Peter Parker in Secret Wars. It wasn't discovered by Peter Parker, you know, some kind of crazy way. It was came to Earth in a spaceship, and there were several symbiotes, and they bonded to different individuals, which you saw in that movie. And one of them happened to be Eddie Brock. Gets bonded with one of them, and then he ends up becoming Venom. Completely changed the backstory, made Eddie Brock kind of a good guy. He's still a reporter, but he's more of a good guy. And then he's kind of off protecting people, but completely changed the backstory. And they were very, very much basing that character on the Lethal Protector storyline in the comic books of, hey, this is kind of a troubled reporter, but you know, he's got good intentions and he's bonded with this evil symbiote, but they kind of work together to kind of do good things. And that's what we've seen so far in that version of the movie, right?
Yeah, and it's worked. I like it. It's not bad.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think we're going in a similar path with this next movie, and we'll kind of see what ends up happening. Now, there were some major potential spoilers that came out this week. There was a screening of the Venom movie in Hollywood and a couple of other places. And a lot of people were like, you know, I believe Tom Hardy went out to one of these screenings and said, hey, what you see here needs to stay here. It can't go out anywhere. Of course, that's the kiss of death.
I mean, right. Yeah. I mean, he's smart enough to know by doing that, he wants the word of mouth and the buzz to get out.
Now, supposedly, there's a massive post-credit scene coming up in this movie that is going to change everything for all of these characters, but we don't know what that's called.
Sony has already given their Spider-Verse a name. They want to create a Spider-Verse, and that's their goal. So, I mean, just by knowing that, they've done that. They've been open about that. Just by that, I think the post-credit scene is going to have something to do with Spider-Man. So, yeah, I think
Big surprise, right?
Yeah, big surprise, big shocker. Venom 3 will have Tom Holland in it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
And again, we're less than 2 weeks away from this. I think... the biggest questions I have after the movie coming up is, where are they going with the Venom character? Where are they going with the Carnage character? Is that somebody that's going to stick around, or is that somebody that they're basically going to defeat and it's going to be gone? Or is it something that could basically rear its ugly head sometime in the future? Again, one of the big reasons why Venom and Spider-Man are not allies, or they were enemies for a long time and then ultimately became allies, is because of the relationship that Spider-Man had with the symbiote. And it doesn't have that today. Never did.
Doesn't have that in the Spider-Verse right now.
So
at least the today's Spider-Verse, the Tom Holland never got infected by the symbiote. So
yeah. So
interesting. We'll see where it goes. I hope they keep Carnage, because again, Woody Harrelson is awesome and I think he's a great actor and I'd love to see him in the future. But you're right. I think the tension between Spider-Man and Venom, they need to explore. And to have Venom as another villain to Spider-Man, when you know they're going to introduce the Sinister Six, they're going to have plenty of other deep characters. They've already casted Kraven the Hunter.
Venom was never in the Sinister Six.
But why have another villain when you have all these cast of
characters? Here's a question. Does Venom end up being on, which he did in the comic books?
A Black Adam, right? He's like an anti-hero.
Well, but does he end up being on the Dark Avengers?
Ooh.
He was in the comic books. Venom was on the Dark Avengers in the comic books.
Interesting.
So is that something that ultimately he'll be part of?
No,
so we've talked
I don't
about
think so.
The Dark Avengers potentially being, or Thunderbolts, whatever you want to call them. You know, we've got, you know, US Agent, we've got Elena Belova, we've got potentially Venom, we've got, you know, there's lots of characters.
Agree, but I don't think he will be part of the Dark Avengers because of Sony and Marvel. The rights to Venom Sony's going to hold that close to the vest. They've given up Spider-Man somewhat, and it's in a partnership. I don't think that Venom will come that way. I think Spider-Man will go that way to Sony, but I don't think Venom will come.
You think
to Marvel.
Sony will continue to hold on to all the other characters, but their sharing agreement only is for Spider-Man,
and maybe one or two other. Obviously, we're going to get Doc Ock and some others in this movie,
right? But that's still a Sony movie.
It is.
What I'm saying, what you're saying is the only character that will ever be in a non-Sony movie would be Spider-Man.
I think so.
Okay.
That's
heard it here first, people.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Just like I think the Eternals are going to make way more money than Shang-Chi.
Well, I don't know if you saw that they already announced a
that's what I'm
release
saying.
Date for China for Eternals.
Hong Kong. Yeah. It's going to be in theaters in Hong Kong the day before it releases in the United States. That's a easy another $200-300 million if it's released in China that Shang-Chi is missing.
Yeah. And we did see that Shang-Chi just went over the $350 million worldwide box office number this past weekend, still made another $30 million this past weekend in its third release week, which is spectacular. I mean, they're killing it.
Yeah.
And again, highest rated Marvel movie ever on Rotten Tomatoes on both the viewer side and the critic side.
Yeah.
Highest rated movie
it's
ever.
Great movie. I'm going to go see it again for sure. Yeah. And then I'll probably order it when it comes out on Disney Plus. But I think that...
You think Eternals will make more money because...
If they release the Eternals in the China market, it will make more money. Hmm. I still think Shang-Chi will make close to $500 million, if not break the $500 million mark. But I think the Eternals will make more money just based on that market that it has access to.
That'll be an interesting barometer because I wholeheartedly believe ultimately the Shang-Chi movie is a better movie. And I think the U.S. market specifically will have gravitated towards that much more than they will the Eternals.
Yeah.
But to your point, we'll see what those other foreign markets are going to bring from the box office perspective.
Here's one of my fears is that, yes, the Eternals will make and does make a boatload of coin.
And then they're not going to release movies that they can't do in China.
Correct. That will determine the creative end of who they cast, who the director is. Check their Twitter feed. Did they ever say anything about communist China? Did they ever say anything bad? If there's any fear of that, and then they win, and then the Chinese government wins. So I hope I'm wrong.
All right. Titanium, do we have a question this week?
No, we do not.
Okay.
But I will tell you something. You schooled the shit out of me about Venom. Interesting. I did not know all of the comic book aspect of where Venom came from and the history. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, we saw kind of a loose version of that in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3 movie. You know, look, there's rich history between those characters, and I'm interested to see where they
Sony
think they're
going. Sony would be foolish not to explore that.
Well, I'm just interested to see where they're going to go with it.
We're based find on out the fact, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, based on the fact that they're not doing the same story, right?
No.
Right, so, all right.
Well, let's ring the bell, Professor.
Let's do it. Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us, gosh, I'm mush mouth today. Get in touch with us on social media. Hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or @supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.